Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Darren, Donnick, and Jace, we're live here at Patron Platinum Club. Darren McFarland, Willie Donnick, Chase McCabe, the gang is all here. Elijah Campbell manning things back at the game studios. We say hello and good afternoon to Tim Hasselbeck, who's with ESPN. He is an expert. He's a college guy. He's a pro guy. He's just an overall pro. Tim, what's up?
What's up? How are you?
Fantastic. How was Turkey Day?
Good Turkey Day. Saw my 94-year-old grandmother, which it's hard to beat that. So it was good. It's a really good day.
That's awesome.
How was yours? Yeah, it was.
94. Gosh, that's awesome, man. If I get to 94, I think I may just have a party every day. Like, how in the world did I make it to 94? You know, one of my grandmothers made it to 98. Like, isn't that
that's
so
incredible.
Impressive? Really? Because I don't feel like I have a prayer of ever getting that far. I hope I
well,
do.
Well,
I don't think so.
Since you said it, I mean, most people that see your physical condition now don't think you'll make it that long. So it's
wow. We're going there.
Wow.
Okay.
I feel like Darren last night.
I tried to give you a compliment, and you come out throwing darts.
Well, Tim, I don't know. You must have been there and just lost in the crowd. But last night, for a good example to your point, Darren came out, rolled, a 166 in the first game?
168.
Came back. Ooh. Fatigue set in the second game, though.
Yeah, but I beat D-Mace. I saw D-Mace.
I know.
He was in the earlier session, and I said, what was your high score? He said, 160. And I said, I'm going to beat it. And he said, you're never going to beat it. And I sent him a picture of my score of 168, and I said, suck it, big boy.
Right. And that would have been the story. That would have been the story, Tim. But now that you brought this up, I did notice that he was a little tired in the second game. Second game, did you hit triple digits?
I did, but my excuse was someone stole my blue ball. Someone stole my blue ball, which was
It was the color of the ball. It wasn't
my
the
lucky
weight or
blue
the...
ball. It got magically removed from our lane and
what
taken
happened?
Somewhere else. People recognized that it was a hot ball. It was hot.
It's a hot
and
ball.
And they took it somewhere else. And so I was all thrown out.
I didn't find the hot ball.
I was out of whack.
But
you did not.
I didn't have a good
Willie 104.
The Toby Keith song is what this is reminding me of.
Yeah.
But,
I was shocked. Willie 104.
I
was
really
shocked.
Really struggled. I had five nines, and I had a spare, and then I just had a complete choke after the spare through a gutter ball. My only gutter ball of the night. You can't do that after a spare.
Mm-mm.
It's a killer.
No.
But Willie. Did you run 5 miles on Thursday?
Not in the race. The race was virtual on Thursday.
Right?
I ran virtual.
So I want to know if you still ran the 5 miles.
I did, but it wasn't the course. But I did not sign up the virtual thing. My grandfather did. Not grandfather. My father-in-law did, and he did run the 5 miles. And got the T-shirt.
I'm curious on your time, though, Willie. Like, did you?
I wasn't. The adrenaline's pumping when you're in the race, or in the Boulevard Bolt. You got the chip, and you got the people cheering you on, and other people are running alongside. It's not the same when you're just by yourself, schlepping around the neighborhood.
Yeah, you took it easy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I got to bounce back. Next year, we'll be back.
Every morning I wake up, I've run a 5 mile. So
no, you don't.
Yeah. That didn't even sound right. That you were like, I run a 5 mile.
I said every morning when I wake up, I've just run a 5 mile in my sleep.
That was one of those things that you can tell it was so fake because you didn't even say it correctly. Like it was almost like, and I checked the internet. You know, like you were like, I run a mile. Like, it was just so not believable.
Look, if you keep going here, Brooklyn Bobby's going to come out during this segment, okay? And me and you're going to be at the bowling alley, and I'll kick your ass, okay? Just like at the teammates. All right, big boy, you big athletes, you big NFL guys, I'll beat you at bowling just like I beat D-Mace last night.
Let's go. We got skeet shooting that we got to get to at some point. Then we got bowling now.
Curling. Well, I got to be honest. I'm a little nervous about the skeet shooting. I've never shot. You know, I've never done that. So that could be bad, really bad. But anyway,
which is a problem that you've never done that before.
But, yeah, yeah, it is. It is. I agree. That is a problem. What was your takeaway from last? I mean, as bodies continue to mount. And they're just dropping like flies around the league, right? You got McCaffrey's mm-hmm. done now. Cook's got a dislocated shoulder. These bodies continue. How these teams will now play out the rest of the season, how this will, you know. And by the way, let's also throw into the mix, what is happening with Seattle? Like, what has happened?
Mm. Yeah. So, real quick on Seattle, I just think offensively they've kind of lost their way a little bit, and I don't think the quarterback's playing well. I think that he probably, you know, he was really the reason, it seems, that, you know, they've ended up kind of parting ways with Schottenheimer, and I think some of the offensive coaches. I just think it's been a struggle there for a while, and the quarterback is masked quite a bit. Quarterback's clearly been unhappy, and so I think it's a bad environment, and I don't know that what they're doing offensively is all that great, and the quarterback looks like he's playing that way. So that's the Seattle part of it. And then in terms of the injuries, look, it's just the deal, right? It's the kind of like a war of attrition every year in the NFL, and it's why it's so important to draft well, have good players behind your starters, because you know, just like you find in preseason games, and you guys have all seen it in preseason games, you're like, wow, there's a big difference between the starters and the backup, like typically for a reason. But if you can, you know, fill your roster with other pretty good players and have them around and do a good job coaching them, then you know, you can survive it. So, for all the bad running back situations that you alluded to, how about this? Like, go look at Green Bay. And you're like, okay, they drafted A.J. Dillon in the second round. A lot of people, probably myself included, was like, really? That's interesting. You got Aaron Jones. Well, Aaron Jones got the MCL. And, you know, now all of a sudden A.J. Dillon's becoming a better player. And, look, he touched the ball 25 times in the game Sunday night or Sunday, you know, afternoon. And he looks like he maybe is providing an element for your team that wouldn't have existed if Aaron Jones wasn't banged up at times. So, yeah, I think that's the challenge. And the teams that are doing it right are kind of coming out better on the other side of it.
I said this yesterday on the show, and I've brought this up in the past, even when it was a 16-game schedule. Now I feel even stronger about it. I believe the league needs to get in a room and meet, or however they do it today, and they need to seriously talk in the offseason about two bye weeks. I think they should start one the season a little bit earlier. Start Labor Day weekend. Everybody needs – now we've seen, you know, we've seen how this works mentally and physically. I mean, Mike Vrabel talks about the mental part of this, just the mental break for these guys. You understand this, that teams need two bye weeks. You need one in the first half of the season, and you need one in the second half of the season – just to get guys mentally and physically right throughout the course of now a 17-game regular season and possibly playoffs. Do you think that'll ever happen?
Oh, yeah, because I think what it allows you to do is stretch the season. And so all the things that you just said are so true in terms of, like, the mental recharge as well as the physical, you know, healing. But the other thing that does, think about it, this year, guys, the Super Bowl is February 13th, and we started, you know, around, early September, right? So look, if you added another bye week, you're just extending the season. You're in more meaningful games, right? Because, you know, as much as you watch the red zone and, you know, all that stuff, like, when teams have weekends off, like, that's okay. You're extending it. And I had this conversation with some people that I work with. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're just at week 12. Like, I'm tired. You know, I'm not coaching or getting hit or any of that stuff. I'm just watching it and talking about it, right? So, look, there's part of me. Like, we were having that conversation just covering it. So, yeah, I think there's. I think that we could easily be headed that direction. I think it's real. I think that, it is a marathon. That's why when we were talking about this early in the season, and I would say it every time a SportsCenter producer would call me and be like, all right, who's the team to beat now in the AFC? It was like, guys, we're going to be playing the second weekend of February. Like, you know how far that is from now? You know how different these teams are going to look at that point? So, yeah, I think it's true. I think it's absolutely true.
Do you think it's got the legs to get in there and happen sooner rather than later? And why isn't the PA standing up on a table screaming, give us two bye weeks? Why aren't they pushing more?
Here's why. When do you hear players, like, get – says Victory Monday, right? And why is that? Because they get the day off. They're off. And I think what players want and what they've always been able to get in the negotiation is more time off. Not more time off during a season, just more time off. And so I think the longer you extend the season, you know, the championship games, you know, a bye week, we're adding another regular season game where, like, guys want to, and think about what people have talked about, the off season, like, do you really need to be around for OTAs? Like, it's kind of a COVID thing. Like, all right, everyone's been off training in their own places. I don't know that guys want to stretch the season out more. They want more time off. So I don't know. But ultimately what happens, I think, is when like, there's got to be something in return. You know, when money gets, when owners want more money and more of the TV revenue, yeah, I think that ultimately there needs to be something that the players feel like they're getting. And so, yeah, maybe that's what it is. But, look, I think this season is a clear indication, and even the guys that are hurt that we don't know are hurt, right? Is Matthew Stafford hurt? I don't know. Like, could he use another week? Sure. Like Russell Wilson, and, you know, remember, he came off of surgery. Of course guys could use it, but, you know, there's a catch to it for sure.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, we got into a really good debate yesterday about how much can be expected of the quarterback given the weapons around him. I thought that was the ultimate test. I don't think I've ever seen it. Now, I know people throw out a game here, a game here that Aaron Rodgers played in recently or Brett Favre back in the day, but I would love to see a study. We went down person for person, production in this particular season going into the game on Sunday and a production in their careers.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a weaker group. And it's nothing against those guys. They've gotten a lot of mileage out of a lot of them. But collectively, of receivers and running backs that the Titans had to work with. And so what we're getting at is, how much can Ryan Tannehill be expected to produce with that group?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hope would be that he plays at a level where it's like, wow, you know, he's making all these guys around him so much better, right? And I think that when you try to do this with Aaron Rodgers, you go, all right, well, before anybody knew, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, like, he did a good job with them. And before you knew, you know, some of these guys that, you know, were playing around him, he was helping those guys play better. Now, all that to say, think about how frustrated Aaron Rodgers was about the supporting cast that he had played with, right? So, I don't know. I mean, you want him to play great. At the same time, like, you have to realize, look, Joe Burrow is playing really well, but you know, he's got three really good receivers playing around him. So, like, if Joe Burrow was playing with a bunch of guys that had, you know, no production and weren't draft picks and weren't, you know, expected to kind of be ascending players, like, would we be excited about the trajectory of how he's playing? Like, probably not. And, you know, he was the number one overall pick when he came out. So, I don't know. I just, look, Ryan is being paid like a starter. You would want him to make the guys around him better. You know, I think he's been put in a really tough situation, and because of that, you know, everything is going to point back to, hey, he's not playing as well as he needs to play. And I don't think that you can totally, I don't think that can be the takeaway. I don't. Now, I think that is going to be the takeaway for a lot of people, but I would tend to disagree with it.
I looked at the Patriots, and my thought was, wow, I'd really like to see the Titans closer to full strength go up against this Patriots team. In your mind, what is the ceiling for the Patriots, who are right now, I guess you'd have to say, they're the hottest team in the AFC?
Yeah, they're the hottest team. Look, they can be a Super Bowl team. Here's what's crazy, and I've said what I've said about Mac Jones and would stand by all of it, but he's playing at a really, really high level right now, and they're doing a lot of things pre-snap with him that he's handling it like a guy that has a lot of experience in the NFL, which is incredible. What they also have is they've got a really good coach. They've got you know, a very good defense. And so I think because of that, like, look, I mean, do I think that Kansas City's still the team to beat? I do. But could they beat Kansas City? They could. Same thing with the Ravens being a flawed team. Like, the Ravens are really good, but there are stretches where Lamar Jackson really struggles as a passer. So, like, ceiling for them? Look, I think that they could be a Super Bowl team. I mean, which is crazy to say when their quarterback, let's remember, he was competing for a job. Like, Cam Newton was supposed to be the starter, and Mac Jones beat him out.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. What does that say about Josh McDaniels, though, and the offense that, you know, he runs, but he's also designed around Mac Jones? I feel like he's obviously made it work for his rookie quarterback. He didn't put too much on him. And, you know, what does that mean for McDaniels' stock moving forward?
Yeah, I think it means a lot. And, you know, he's been head coach before. We know he's had interest from a bunch of people.
And we lost him. And there we go.
Remember, he's told us that he's been the same spot forever. He's never had any issues. But today, he was breaking up a lot, and
he hung up on his best friend.
He just got zapped.
Like, I can't believe that. I think we may be getting him back, but I'm just shocked he would do that. It was a click. It was like Chris Sanders.
There was a similar sound.
Yeah.
It was a similar sound.
It's kind of a click.
I'm not saying anything, but
we got zapped.
A similar sound.
He got zapped. I am curious, though, when, you know, with jobs open, you know, is this when Josh McDaniels finally does it, or is he just waiting around for Bill to retire? We got Tim back. So, Tim, I can't believe you hung up on your best friend, but that's cool.
You know what it is? I ate so much on Thanksgiving, I really fat cheeks right now. Just kind of pressed on the phone. Look, I think he might be waiting. I really do. And I think he's being paid well to be a coordinator and can kind of do it, continue to think about how he'd do things differently. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to be at the top of anyone's list, especially in pro football, because now you've seen success, a lot of success, it appears, without Brady as his quarterback, which I think means a lot.
So speaking of coaches, I'll just get your thoughts on some things going on in college football. How shocked were you to see Brian Kelly leave Notre Dame and head to LSU?
I'm surprised because I'm just curious about the fit. You know, Brian Kelly, obviously a successful coach at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is not an easy place to be a head coach. And he's had to weather a few storms there, which, you know, I think, you know, probably speaks well to, you know, what he's able to do. But I'm just not sure about the fit. I'm sure that he's attracted to, like, the talent that you're going to be able to get there and that they already have there. But, yeah, I thought, you think about places he's had success, whether it's been Cincinnati or Notre Dame.
Recruiting formula would seem to be very different from Notre Dame to LSU.
And that's to say that he's not a good coach. I'm curious what the appeal was for LSU. I really am. And because here's the other thing, like, it's not like there wasn't going to be, you know, I mean, pretty much anybody, I mean, was going to have interest in that job. So if you were interested in them, there's a pretty good chance that they were going to be interested back. You know, what does it equate to? About 15 a year? Is that the number? Like,
it's about 9.5 with incentives. So,
yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Not in today's landscape.
And then Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for Southern Cal. I mean, I think there was always kind of a thought with him of, could he make the jump to the NFL? And, you know, he still could. You know, that obviously won't stop him. But that was another surprising move that happened with him leaving Oklahoma.
Was, but I think that one's less surprising in that, not to say that, like, Oklahoma's not a final destination, but, you know, if you're the head coach at Oklahoma and you're making a lot of money and you're, you know, your family's growing up there, it's hard to, it's easier to do that in L.A. And, you know, I think there are elements of, you know, just instead of, you know, conversation with Pete Carroll one time, like, he's like, look, we are not leaving the state unless we think somebody is like a clear, like, number one draft pick one day. Like, we don't have to leave the state unless we think a guy is that good. And so I think there's also an element of that where, you know, you just, like, if you're trying to get kids to come to Norman, like, and you're going all around the country pretty much trying to do that, you're not doing that at SC. So I can see why the thought is that that's a different challenge, but maybe, a challenge that he would prefer rather than being at Oklahoma.
Hey, and good news, Urban said that
he's staying.
He's staying. Going, yeah, he's
take that to the bank.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I trust
way,
Urban
speaking
Meyer.
Speaking of Lincoln, how brilliant was, like, he really has been able to get through without lying.
It was fantastic.
Being like, I am not going to be the head. I'm going to stop you right there. I am not going to be the head coach.
It was fantastic.
Of LSU.
It was fantastic.
That is almost like Bobby Petrino next level right there. Like, good.
I know you've got a moat and you live in a castle and you got a lot of, you know, space. Is there a chance you could build, like, a cell tower and maybe the East Wing or something?
Are you kidding me?
The whole entire interview, it was you.
I even moved my spot.
I know. You tell us that every time, but it keeps.
By the way, did D. Mace tell you that I sat next to him on a plane the other day going to Boston?
No. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Got on. He was there. Could barely tell it was him because he was all masked up and incognito. But, yeah.
And it looks like he could still play, doesn't he?
Does.
It's crazy.
Does. Talked my ear off the whole flight.
Saw Neil O'Donnell last night, and he does not look like he could still play. He's
looked, that You know? See, and you wonder why people are
shots fired.
I
love Neil. I love Neil, and we had a great conversation.
Sounds it.
He looks like he could play Santa Claus at your local mall. I'm just saying.
Do you know him that well?
Yes.
I feel like he should come back and defend himself.
He will. But next time he sees me, he will absolutely. If he hears this, he will let me. He will throw something at me. I have no doubts about it, and it's awesome. Tim, great stuff. The half of the interview that we heard was, I mean, honestly, some of your best stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Build a cell tower. Hey, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm going
to
get one for Christmas from Neil O'Donnell, evidently. All right.
See if he can give you one. All right. Tim Hasselbeck.
See you guys.
That was out of love. Neil's awesome. No, but have you seen DMA? Seriously, he looks like he could still play.
Did I hear correctly that an Atlanta Braves outfielder was there?
Yep.
Adam Duvall. Little Duvall.
Adam Duvall
was
there.
And a former Braves outfielder.
Yep. Jeff Rancourt.
Ah, of course.
It was littered with stars. Saw one Kelly Holcomb.
So why were you two there?
I know. That's a good question. Depth. You're depth players.
Question is, why weren't you even invited?
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't invited.
That's even a better shot.
Yeah, no, that's good.
We were at least invited.
That's true. Well, I don't know. I'll ask the director.
Cortland Finnegan was there.
How's he doing?
Keith Bullock was there. I'm trying to think of who else. Anthony Firkser was there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Matt Freege. Zach Piller.
Matt Freege was there. Will Perdue.
Wilbur. Oh,
Kevin Stallings.
Yeah.
A who's who.
It was a who's who, except you were not there.
I was not. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. That's all right.
We'll come back. More on the other side. But first, a word about QC Kinetics.
Well, after a night like last night, a little bowling, you could have some joint pain, no question about it. And there's a lot of people out there that it's no joke, the joint pain that maybe they've been dealing with for a long time. So QC Kinetics is now available in our listening area, and what they want you to know is they don't think you are going to need to go through another year with that joint pain that might really be bugging you and keeping you from doing the things that you love to do. So if you haven't explored this yet, it's time to call QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. Non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. We're talking lasting results with natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, no downtime. It's exciting stuff. It's going to encourage your body to heal itself. Highly concentrated natural biologics. Patients love this stuff for hip pain, knee pain, shoulder, and back pain relief. So don't keep taking the steroids. Don't listen to any more about the surgery until you find out more about this second opinion you can get at QC Kinetics. Do it now and imagine life in 2022 without that joint pain. QC Kinetics. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics. You noticed New England, they played a lot of music on kickoffs and stuff.
No, they had like 80s, a lot of 80s music. Yeah.
I
was like,
but
wow.
The Who was in there too. The Who would be more like multi decades, right? 60s, 70s, and 80s, The Who. But Ian Eagle did comment on that during the broadcast, how much he loved the 80s drop-ins.
Can I just say, I think Ian Eagle is vastly underrated.
Outstanding.
He is one of the best. I enjoy his call.
I will say this, and I'm not going to say the rest of it on the air. I agree with that. And there's someone else who does NFL games that I think is kind of overrated. And I'm not going to say it on air because I like him. But I'll tell you guys off the air.
Okay.
And I want you to convince me otherwise because I
– Like a national level?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. One – somebody we know very well. So I'm just like – anyway. We'll see what – I want to see what you guys say about that.
Okay.
By the way, we are here live at the Patron Platinum Club. And there's an event going on right now. They have closed us off. The curtains are up.
Yep. Yeah, we're in our cage.
The curtains.
We're in our cage.
We got blocked.
It's It's, I feel like we're at the zoo. Like, no, it's no viewing right now. No viewing.
The animals are sleeping. There's,
there's a sign that says the animals are sleeping.
I've thought about putting signs up like don't feed the animals or quiet, the animals are sleeping. Like, I think that would be fun.
Since we're here at the arena, I'm going to pass along that you can join us tomorrow night for Smashville Live during the 6 o'clock hour. Hal Gill will join me. I'm going to step in and take a little Smashville Live. And I've just been told the special guest, and I've somehow lost it. I believe it's Colton Sissons the first half of the show, and then Tanner Janot the second half.
That is correct.
Is that right?
So you will have some herdsmen.
All right. Good deal. All right. So be listening to that tomorrow during the 6 o'clock hour. You can also watch it on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So just keep that in mind every Wednesday during the 6 o'clock hour. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka.
There is a coach that is no longer available that you should be interested in.
Yeah,
about.
Looks like Mark Stoops has re-upped or he's been given a contract extension.
Yeah, in principle, but I was reading the article that it said that it's just waiting on signatures at this point. But through at least 2027, and there's a clause in there that if he wins, I think it's 7 games, it adds a year to it. If they win 10 games in a year, it adds 2 years to it. So pretty
good
deal.
What is he making now?
That's what I was trying to find was the...
He makes a lot.
The financials of it.
Like, it's, once again, that's what was so mind-blowing. So I said earlier in the show, and we had this kind of blow up with a lot of responses in the first segment. A Notre Dame alum last night told me at the event that, you know, Brian Kelly was making $2.5 million a year, and I'm like, what? And when you look it up, it says 2.67 annually. But remember, Notre Dame, like, you know, the same stuff that we get with the Vanderbilt, the private institutions, they don't have to declare. And so it's much harder to find out what coaches are making because it's not a public university. But I guess there's a whole lot of, and this has been written about in The Athletic and other places, that, you know, Brian Kelly got a lot of stuff on, I don't know, if phrasing it the correct way, under the table, I don't know. I guess it's incentives.
McDonald's bags.
Yeah, McDonald's bags.
He must have been doing better than that.
You know, did they buy his house? Did they buy his car? I don't know how it works, but there's a lot of reports that, but there are people that believe he was making more like close to, you know, he's $6-7 million with all the incentives. I don't know what that means. It's like either you're paying him $7 million a year or you're paying him 2.67. Whatever. I mean, wherever it's coming from, then why don't you just say you're paying him $7 million a year? Right. So I don't really understand how all that works. But when you think about the landscape of college football, the reason I'm bringing this up, it looks like Notre Dame is a little bit behind the game. That they have not, and remember, I think Michigan got caught up in this a good while back, where it was like, hey, we're Michigan. And they realized, yeah, you know, that doesn't work as much. You know, that there was a time, like, you could use that in recruiting. Hey, we're Alabama, right? Back in the day, you know. We're Alabama. And
right.
Guys would just say, I just want to be a part of your roster. I just want to say I play for Alabama. I don't care if I ever play or not. But that was, you know, decades and decades and decades ago. And the whole thing of, hey, we're Michigan, or hey, we're Notre Dame, and just anybody will come here because, hey, we've got this rich, long history. And that just doesn't work today. It doesn't. So however they pay, they're going to have to get with the times. And I think Michigan had to do that. And it's the same thing with facilities, right? It's like, hey, we're so-and-so. We don't have to do all that stuff. And then they realize, oh, Florida State, the coach is going to leave if he's leaving because we didn't get the new facilities. I guess we need to build better facilities.
Right.
I thought it was just good enough that we were Florida State and we were at Tallahassee and we did a whole lot
of
winning.
Doesn't really work.
We did a whole lot of winning with Bobby Bowden. And we really have to do this stuff?
So we have to do stuff now?
Okay.
Awkward.
So looks like Mark Stoops will be at Kentucky for – it just means he's got more security. Good for him. It doesn't mean anything. Like, we've learned that, right? Buyouts don't mean anything, especially in the SEC. Because the minute you go, oh, they owe him $19 million, he's not going anywhere. And then the next day you find out, oh, he's gone. And they stroked a check and said, yeah, see you later. Like that, the buyout stuff doesn't mean anything. It just means he got more security. It doesn't mean he's going to be there till 2028.
Yeah.
I think.
But good for him.
You guys have hit on the challenge. Oklahoma and Notre Dame, very unique challenges. We touched on it a little bit with Tim there at the end of the interview. Very unique challenges because they have the highest expectations, but yet they have a unique formula that is treacherous, I would say. If you fall off a little bit, it's hard to get back. Notre Dame went through that for a long time, and Brian Kelly worked. It took him a long time to get back up to where, you know, they're competing for playoffs, and you know they hit a level where it was hard for them to break through. When they made it to the playoffs, it was hard to have the horses to actually win in the playoffs. But he got them there, right? That was a huge accomplishment because they went through a long time where they were pretty mediocre most years.
Well, they
more often
through,
than not.
They went through a. How many different coaches? Charlie Weiss was there for a few years. And
Tyrone Willingham,
yep.
So they, you know, they had
Bob
some
Davey.
Guys. Bob Davey was there for a while and just.
He replaced Lou.
Right.
I guess.
So I think if you bridge it from Lou Holtz to Brian Kelly, there was a lot of hit or miss. There was a lot of inconsistency. And there was, and the expectations never changed.
Well, it was interesting. So Lou Holtz left. Bob Davey was there 5 years. The George O'Leary thing happened.
Yeah.
Tyrone Willingham was there for three.
3 years. I remember when they fired him because he had a good year in there, 1 year.
Weiss was there for five, and then Kelly was there for 12.
Charlie Weiss, a little bit hit or miss.
Yep.
Oklahoma the same way. Oklahoma before Bob Stoops and after Barry Switzer. They went through some hard times. In there, we see Nebraska, since they've fallen off, it's been very, very hard for them to get back. And think about Nebraska since they've been in the Big Ten. Not a lot of success. So Oklahoma going into the SEC, it's going to be a very unique hire to try to keep them at the level that they're accustomed to. At Oklahoma, their Oklahoma fans are like, yeah, we're one of the best. We compete for national championships every year. But they're about to go into a very different environment. So who's the coach that takes them into that environment? And who's the right guy to replace Brian Kelly at Notre Dame? Who's out there?
I think Luke Fickle's got, I mean, they got Brian Kelly from Cincinnati. It would probably make sense that Luke Fickle is going to be the number one target.
Yeah.
You have to think.
But
and then
after that, then what?
Then how about the point that Tim made? I agree with Tim on this. The formula at LSU is very different than the formula at Notre Dame. Now, maybe people disagree, but from a recruiting standpoint, you know, knowing the Bayou, the Coach O, you know, his connections down there. And
go Tigers.
Brian Kelly has been going across the country bringing people in to Notre Dame. You have to. It's a national recruiting place. You're not just recruiting Chicago and that region of the country. It's a national. So how quickly can he switch and work off of that? Because LSU's used to having these incredibly talented recruiting classes, but it's majorly from that area of the country, right? You're working Texas, you're working Louisiana, you're working the Bayou there to get the players, and it's a rich area. So that's very, very different.
He did not give it kind of the ringing endorsement.
No.
I didn't take it that way.
He's not the most likable guy. Coach O is a lovable guy.
Oh,
he's a wacky guy, but people love him. He's from there. Well, Brian Kelly he is not from there, and he is not likable. Am I wrong?
Well, I don't.
They
I
like
don't,
winning, but is, if he, he's the guy, he
is
strikes Urb, me as a
is
guy.
Is Urban Meyer a likable guy?
No, but he won.
But people, okay. But Brian Kelly's been winning.
He's been winning. But what I'm saying is that could go south in a hurry at LSU if he doesn't play his cards right. It's
well,
going
to
be interesting to see what he has learned about how to handle
There's been a lot of chatter glare. That Notre Dame is – they're going to have to loosen up on their restrictions. You can't win there. You can't compete with the big boys and the system they've got. We heard that chatter for a long time. Yeah. And really, Brian Kelly, you haven't heard a whole lot in the last 5 years about that whole you can't win at Notre Dame anymore because
I think it's hard.
Well, it is. But, I mean, he's been winning 10, 11 games every year. So – he's doing something right.
Oh, he's done a lot right. There's no question.
Hasn't the knock on Notre Dame been obviously a different level? But, you know, Vanderbilt for years it was, well, there's the entrance exam and this academic institution.
I still think that there are standards at Notre Dame. You'd like to think anyway. But how do you work around those? How do you work within those? Those are always questions at schools like that.
You don't have to worry about that now. It's going to be very different. He's got to recruit in the SEC.
But it's a different trick at LSU.
Why don't you tell everybody about Loan Pronto?
Okay, Loan Pronto, just like my year-end theme that I talk about with QC Kinetics and some of the other sponsors on the show, Loan Pronto has that message for you down the stretch of 2021 and looking ahead to 2022. You know that your home value is way up these days, so why not use that equity to your advantage to make your house even nicer for the new year. Call Loan Pronto now. They're fast-tracking home refis for the new year, and people are getting checks that is your money that you have available to you that you can use and really set your finances going forward. A big check, $60,000, for example, or more. And right now, Loan Pronto can even cover all of your closing costs, so it's a good move for you. Your home's value is up. All you have to do is convert that equity into cash to reinvest in your home, make it even more valuable. Maybe a new luxurious kitchen, maybe a new home office or a bathroom, maybe a swimming pool for next year. Call Loan Pronto now and find out about this. Or if you just need to pay off some bills and set your finances straight for the holidays, that's huge. Because if you act now, you can even skip your next two house payments. How's that sound to you? Make 2022 the year you fix up your home loan with Loan Pronto's help. Here's how you call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans apply.
Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're on the Game Nashville app as well, live at Bridgestone Arena at the Patron Platinum Club as the Predators take on the Columbus Blue Jackets a little bit later on tonight. Darren will have pregame starting at 6 o'clock, and of course Willie will be on the television side on Bally Sports with Chris Mason and the crew, Lindsay, Kara, everybody, Hal jumping in on occasion as well. But should be a good one tonight. We were just talking in the break, Willie, of just how young Columbus is, but playing pretty good hockey right now.
They're playing excellent hockey, 12-7 on the season. They had a three-game winning streak snapped in St. Louis in their last game, and they're scoring a ton of goals. Now, last year, they averaged 2.39 goals a game. They had John Tortorella, very defensive-minded coach. They have a new coach in Brad Larsen, and he's kept a lot of the framework of a John Tortorella system, but there's a little more freedom for creativity. They made a couple of key trades. They traded for Jake Voracek from Philadelphia, traded Cam Atkinson. They've infused some young players. They have the youngest roster in the NHL right now. Cole Sillinger, high first-round pick, who is one of the only 18-year-olds to stick from that draft. He's in there, and it's going really, really well. It's like they trimmed the fat a little bit from their roster, put the youth in there, very few expectations, and yet they're getting good results. It's very similar to the Predators in that effect. People were saying before the season, well, how could you – they can't be as good without Seth Jones. Or, hey, they got rid of this guy or this guy. But they're actually playing better. Their team chemistry is better. So I think this is a really interesting matchup tonight for the Predators. Columbus very much overachieving. They're averaging 3.42 goals per game. So they're playing very high event games. It's a very different type of game that you're seeing from Columbus. But, for example, Zach Werenski, sort of out of the shadow of Seth Jones, playing great. And he's playing with Adam Boqvist, the young defenseman that they got in the Seth Jones trade.
Yeah.
Boqvist is doing really, really well, only 21 years of age. So it's sort of reset with, you know, not breaking it all the way down, Columbus. They're trying to build it back up with a lot of young players. It's working really well right now.
And they find themselves kind of right in the middle of things in the Metropolitan Division. A
very deep division.
Point back of Pittsburgh and 5 points back of third of the Rangers. And then obviously we know the Capitals and the Hurricanes, what they've been doing at the top of that division.
You got a few teams that are way out there, you know, playing elite hockey. Then you've got a couple at the bottom, but you've got a couple of divisions. The Metro is very interesting. The Central is. Not much separates the second-place team from the sixth or even the seventh-place team in a lot of cases there. And you're about a quarter of the way through the season where people start looking at the standings a little bit more and say, okay, where are you? So as you heard David Poile with us earlier, you know, he thinks that the trade talk is going to be interesting as you go forward here because it's a compressed schedule. But right now you don't have a lot of teams that are out of it. So where you are now, you're probably still trying to look, what do you got? What kind of young players? Like, Columbus has got to be thrilled with a guy like Cole Sillinger. And Max Domi has bounced back and played a lot better for whatever reason with a different coach in there. So these are guys that they sort of hung in there with. They're getting mileage out of it. And, you know, for the Predators in the second quarter, it's, hey, you know, Matt Duchene seems like he's turned over a new leaf. He's playing much better. Can he keep it up? You know, I don't know if he's going to score 13 goals every quarter of the season.
Yeah.
But if he just keeps doing the right things, he's on his way to being a much different player than he was last year. Same with Ryan Johansson. I know you asked David Poile about him. I think he's just been a better overall player than he has been.
So the Preds and the Blue Jackets here tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Darren will have pregame at 6. When we come back, we'll get more into the coaching carousel and college football with Mitch Light of The Athletic. That is all next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.